Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. Feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, lock the way we rock it. So don't stop.
All right, it is fantastic to be back Monday night, the Boss and the Gloss with Jose behind the glass. Jose, welcome in.
How you guys doing? Everything all right?
We're doing great. Carla has come running in. I don't know where you were, Carla, but I'm delighted.
I was distracted by my boss.
I'm so glad you finally made it to join us here.
He is too much.
I was doing a lot of talking down the hall.
But you did have a good analysis on Green Bay, so stay tuned for that. It's coming up in the first hour.
Well, it will be fun to unpack what is taking place in Green Bay. Obviously, sort of a rocky start between the legendary quarterback, a Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers, and his new coach, Matt LaFleur. So we will take a look at what some are calling a cheesy situation in the land of cheeseheads.
Oh, where's the bachoom?
There's no bachoom there. He just was asleep at the wheel.
Drum roll.
And then it's also fun to note that
it's a weird time in sports.
Well, it's a weird time in sports, but look, there's been nothing that's really happened in the NBA in the last 4 or 5 days. And yet, the banter, the talk, the nuances, the rumors, they just keep coming and coming and coming. There are all these stories on how, well, KD is now mad at the Warriors team. KD and Kyrie have had lunch twice in the last 10 days.
Kawhi has been buying moving boxes at the Home Depot. I mean, it's all the rage.
Everything sources say, the reports show. That's all they say. Who knows if it's all real?
I'm going to borrow Steph Curryism. This is a janky time in the NBA right now.
Well, one thing that is real is I think the Pelicans have handled a very difficult situation very well. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you why. We'll talk about the Pelicans and what the future holds for that team when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carl, I want to talk a little travel with you because most of us do a little bit of travel throughout the year and certainly in the summer. How are you at booking hotel rooms?
Needing some help.
All right.
Use your tips.
Good. I've got a suggestion.
Hit me up.
Go to besthotelrates.com. Do you know why? Best Hotel Rates has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide, and they have extended these discounts to you, Carla Dawson.
Thank you, besthotelrates.com.
And to all of our listeners, simply go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel, and voila. You're looking at a discounted rate for many of the hotels that you would pay much more for somewhere else. Save your money. Book your hotels through besthotelrates.com.
Check that. Ready to go.
That's it. Carla's ready to travel now. All right. I really have felt some passion about the Pelicans.
You really have. I love that.
Well,
give them the shout-outs.
Look, I have no fandom there. This is not a team I've really ever paid any attention to other than admiring what AD does on the court.
You don't love Smoothie King Arena?
Well, it does have a little ring to it.
It's got a ring.
I like a good Smoothie King every now and then. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
But when Rich Paul, super agent, agent to LeBron, agent to Anthony
AD.
Davis, basically put a gun to the head of the Pelicans and said, AD wants out. And he did this at midseason before the
trade deadline.
Yeah, right before the trade deadline. And look, Pelicans didn't blink. They didn't panic. They waited it out. They waited for the right deal. And they got a better deal by waiting. I think that was a good outcome to wait. The outcome of the trade was good for them. They picked up some really nice young pieces.
They picked up like an entire team.
Well, when you look at what they got and all the draft picks to come, I think they positioned themselves for a really good future. In fact, yeah, well, they got the three first rounders, which is going to be great.
And two of the three are protected, so it's great.
And I think Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram were great pickups. Josh Hart is a scrappy player. He's going to be a nice addition to that team. In fact, it's sort of fun. You may remember AD on his way out of the Pelicans in his last game showed up with a shirt. It was the old Bugs Bunny line, "That's all, folks," because he was on his way out of New Orleans.
So passive-aggressive. So not so passive-aggressive.
Well, yeah. At that point, he claimed that it was just a shirt that somebody had given him. He wasn't saying, "That's all, folks, goodbye to New Orleans." That was just a shirt he happened to wear that day.
Yeah.
Coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no coincidence here. Pelicans coach Alvin Gentry recently fired back post-trade. He said, "That's a haul, folks. That's a haul, folks," which was a great comeback because Pelicans did get a haul from the Lakers. They got a lot of young talent. And then they drafted very well. Now, they got a little bit lucky. I mean, winning the lottery.
They won the draft lottery.
Yeah, you got to win the lottery.
You think it's so tricky because you've got, you know, 32 teams in the NBA, and only one is going to end up with the chip at the end. You know, this year we've got Toronto. And you see how many things have to line up. Like you see now with this trade that was – this potential trade that was such a disaster in February, it broke up the Lakers locker room. The Pelicans looked like it was all but they were just going to be continue to just be in kind of oblivion. What happens? They get a new general manager in who's their general manager?
Well, David Griffin.
David Griffin,
great
who they got
general
from
manager
Cleveland,
for them, sure.
Who knows the LeBron situation well, who knows everything. They get a new general manager. And then they win the draft lottery. They get the number one pick. And all of a sudden, what looked like a complete disaster in February that literally broke apart that entire Lakers locker room, LeBron versus all the youngsters, has now turned out looking like the Pelicans won the week, won the month, possibly won the season, you know, for how they're set up.
Well, of course, they got the number four overall pick from the Lakers in that trade. And then on draft night, they traded down and they got some good quality pieces. Texas freshman Jackson Hayes, I think, will make a mark in the NBA. Got to give him time. One interesting thing you mentioned, David Griffin, the GM, is he's really reminded everybody that this is Drew Holiday's team.
I love that.
It's not Zion's team, which, of course, it's going to be Zion's team. And, of course, Zion is the name. Zion is the second coming, right? He's the guy everyone in the NBA cares
about.
Appropriately
named after Mount Zion.
That's right.
No joke.
So he is somebody special and the number one pick overall and one of the best prospects to come out since LeBron. But let's not let the perception get ahead of the reality. I mean, that's already a genie out of the bottle. But it is good for the GM to remind Drew Holiday, you are the man. You are still the face. We're counting on you to be the leader.
He's the veteran now with all these young pups.
And they need a veteran presence.
And he's had a fantastic last couple seasons. So good for Drew Holiday. Let's see how he can step up.
So one intriguing thing about Lonzo Ball going from the Lakers to the Pelicans is the muzzle on his father, LeVar, has suddenly been removed. For whatever reason, I don't know what the deal was that struck, well, must have been struck between the Lakers and LeVar. For the last year, we basically haven't heard from LeVar, but we sure have in the last...
The Lakers put like a clamp on him.
They put
like
a muzzle
enough.
Over him, yeah.
Yes.
But no, he's back now. The muzzle is removed. With Lonzo in New Orleans, LeVar has come back out again. And he had a bit of a dust-up a couple different times.
You know, last Saturday night, a week ago, when this trade went down for AD, and I saw that Lonzo was part of the trade that went to the Pelicans, I said, oh, no. We're going to hear from LeVar again. He's going to resurface. He's coming back from the dregs. And sure enough, I mean, he immediately that night, I don't know what platform it was. I think it was at an AAU game. He said, yeah, I guarantee the Lakers made the biggest mistake ever. They'll never win another championship. I said, here we go again. And I really like prayed to the basketball gods in the sports world. Don't give this dude a platform. And what happened?
He's back.
He's back. They had him on First Take, my favorite show, and darn.
Well, Carla, let me just shift gears with you for just a minute.
I'll shift gears. Oh, no, I won't shift gears with you anytime.
You can't say that. And he said it, and it got into trouble.
Well, not only did he say it and got into trouble to, you know, beautiful talk show host Molly Karam with Stephen A. sitting next to LeVar, Max on one screen, Molly on another, and it was so... LeVar, can we switch gears for a minute? And he was going to switch gears with her anytime. And worse,
a bit suggestive, by my
suggestive.
Think. Yes.
Molly handled it well. I thought she was great.
She's a pro. Said,
let's stick to the topic, and went on to whatever she was doing. But do you think he stops there? No. Instead of issuing an apology or some kind of sweeping it under the rug, he went on to say that her mind is in the gutter. That's not where he was going. He would never hit on her. Not, but literally he would if she was trying to burglarize his house. I mean, what?
You're suggesting, or he's suggesting, it was her fault. It's just the way she interpreted it. I see.
Yes. And so not only is that so bad, and that at anything that you would hit a woman, like, really?
Right.
But let's keep in mind here, LeVar, that Molly is married to Jalen Rose. The beloved Jalen Rose,
yep,
who is on every time you turn on any ESPN program. Do you think that's going to sit very well with Jalen and the NBA community and ESPN and all of that? Nope.
Nope.
He is just, but I really kind of slapped the wrist of ESPN for even giving him that platform. He's inappropriate. He does not deserve a platform.
Well, stop, and now he is not allowed on there. They finally pulled the plug on him.
And you know what he said? It doesn't matter because he never worked for ESPN and he's got his own show.
Well, he also had his own shoe brand and that didn't go very well. Now, his other son, LaMelo, has made some news this week. He's going out to play in Australia.
Yes, he is. Which, you know, that's an interesting move. He is the more talented one.
Sure.
LiAngelo is the one that did the stealing business in China, and he's banned from UCLA. And
you have a
else.
Problem with that? Or he just wanted some Gucci or whatever the brand was.
He was Gucci. Gucci sunglasses.
I'm pretty good at this.
Wow, you apparently.
Yes.
But LaMelo is a talent, and I think it's interesting to note that recent five-star prospect RJ Hampton opted to sign with the New Zealand Breakers, also in the NBL, instead of accepting a scholarship offer with Kansas.
Yep.
So this is where LaMelo is going, to the Australian's NBL, National Basketball League, to play for the Hawks, the Illawarra Hawks. So I wonder if this is going to be a trend now, because they get a six-figure contract for each season. They get an apartment. They get a car, air travel, training. So why would you go to college, I guess, at this point, if you don't want a degree?
Right. I mean, you don't really need to. A one and done, and how much education are you getting in one season that is just positioning you for an NBA career? These very, very top elite high school guys, those Rivals five-star guys in the top 10, 12, 15, those who are going to Duke, the group that gather there, or Kentucky, and then they play one season and go on, they really don't spend a lot of time in the library. So I guess what he's going to go do is have a great year in Australia. If he performs well, he could end up with the same kind of draft outcome.
It's interesting, and I don't know. I'll ask your opinion. So this RJ Hampton was a well-known five-star prospect. I don't know that LaMelo would be considered a five-star prospect. I think he is very talented.
Well, his father said that LaMelo is going to be the number one pick overall. Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to get beyond the noise.
Oh, gosh. It's hard to get beyond
the noise. I listened to LeVar, and he told me that he will be number one. LaMelo will be number one in the draft. I know that.
Yeah, all three of his boys were going to play for the Lakers, too. So, and how's that working?
How times have changed. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Sam Amico of AmicoHoops.com. And we can ask him about Zion's future in New Orleans, where KD's going to go, where Kai Wee's going to go, all the big news when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, I have a personal question for you. I have to ask this.
You always do this on air, David.
Well, I'm sorry, but I need to know, are you planning on taking a road trip over the 4th of July?
Why, yes, I am.
Well, then, you need to prepare your vehicle for your road trip now by visiting your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Because simple preventive maintenance like changing your oil and filter, topping off engine coolant, and checking belts and hoses can avoid costly repairs in the future and keep you on the road. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts have the parts you need at guaranteed low prices. Get your vehicle ready for the 4th of July travel today. That's O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Thank you for looking out for me.
I'm looking
going
out
to
for
O'Reilly.
You. Listen, going back to LeVar Ball, and he had the flare-up with Molly Quorum, and people took sides, and it looked like Stephen A. was right in the middle of it somehow.
Stephen A. was appalled when he said that. He immediately said, come on.
Yeah.
That's when I knew. I mean, I replayed it over a couple times,
yes.
And it was immediate. It wasn't even a wait for a reaction. I mean, Stephen A. was just
no,
like,
I know you. You replayed it and replayed it dozens and dozens and dozens
Stephen
of times.
A. I'm not going to lie, but okay.
When
yeah.
LeVar Ball and Molly Quorum are going after it, that's going to be a conversation, right? But here's the interesting thing. Most of the world took Molly's side on this one. They went against LeVar.
Imagine.
But.
There is a but. You're right.
Somebody is standing with LeVar. It is Dez Bryant, who's come out of the woodwork. And he was very vocal and supporting LeVar. Let's hear what Dez had to say.
So he took to social media.
Yes.
And this is what he says.
Okay.
Molly Quorum, I'm late, but I just seen the ESPN video of you and LeVar Ball. Just being real, you owe that man an apology straight up. I don't even sense foul play from him. You dramatically overreacted. Mature women like Doris Burke need those jobs. End quote. Oy, yay, yay. Okay. Let me give you a scenario then here, David.
Okay.
So
yes.
You got to hit your trailer to one camp.
Sure.
So are you going to go with esteemed, classy, smart, well-rounded, beautiful Molly Quorum hosting First Take? Or are you going to go over there with all-star receiver with the torn Achilles and big baller brand bomb failure LeVar Ball dad and Dez Bryant? Which trailer you want to hitch to on this one?
I guess I think I know what I'm supposed to answer here as I sit across
from
the gloss.
Was I leading the witness? I'm
yes,
sorry.
You led me. But I'm not going to go off the rails here. I know I need to...
No, in all honesty, though...
Yes, I got to side with Molly on this. There's no hesitation in that.
I just don't, I think, and even just taking out the fact that I am a woman in sports media.
Yes.
There are so few women in sports media, you know, as a percentage of overall. Really?
That's true.
Do you have to objectify them like that
comment,
so blatantly?
Let's switch gears, or I'll switch gears with you anytime, baby. That would never be said to a male host,
no.
Right? It certainly highlighted her femininity.
I'd love to hear Jalen's take, but of course, he's classy, so we're not hearing from him.
Well, and ESPN wisely just won't even ask him, right?
Right.
They're not going to have Mike Greenberg.
It's a family affair there.
No, on Get Up, he's not going to turn to Jalen and say, now, what did you think of a LeVar right. Ball? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
And that's good. Stop talking about him. Like,
right.
We're done with LeVar. We are just over. He's inappropriate, and he's tasteless.
Okay, other NBA news. There is other NBA news beyond LeVar Ball, right?
And here we are giving him a platform.
Well, but of course. But the Houston Rockets have had a strange 17 days here.
As Houston turns.
Back and forth. Chris Paul wants out. He's unhappy with James Harden. No, he's not. He's okay. He said he was okay. Daryl Morey says he's okay. The whispers continue, however. And James Harden and Chris Paul, the nature of their relationship, their ability to play well together, seems to be a question mark in this offseason. I don't feel comfortable with where the Rockets are right now. I worry that they've got an aging star in Chris Paul. They do have a James Harden at the peak of his career. It's not clear they're happy playing together. And I don't know how they're going to go get a third superstar for that team.
Well, the reason they're going to have trouble getting a third superstar is because they have no cap space.
Right.
Because you've got, here's, you know, look at Chris Paul's deal. He has a remaining 3 years on his deal, a remaining $124 million. That's not exactly attractive for
right.
trade bait or anything of the sort. You know, so James Harden at 30 years old, CP3 at 34 years old, they have a combined salary of $76.6 million for next season. Then you add Capella's like $85 million salary over 5 years. So what they have available in the offseason is a $5.7 million mid-level exception. That's it.
Yeah, they'd have to clear out some space to do it. It was interesting. About a week ago, there were rumors.
$76 million to the two of them.
Well, I know that's the problem there. And you've got about a week ago, there were whispers that maybe Al Horford would find his way back to Houston or come to Houston. Because it was interesting, when Al Horford was making his first free agency decision and he landed with the Celtics, the second consideration for him was the Houston Rockets. Now, that didn't work out. Al Horford would be a great pickup for this team. He's a great addition. Actually, he plugs in neatly anywhere. But the cap room is just prohibitive. I mean, Al Horford's going to be looking for his last big-time contract. Look, that's why he left the Celtics.
He had paid to get paid.
Right. I mean, he could opt in and get a one-year deal from the Celtics for $31 million. No, he opted out so he can go get a max deal somewhere else. And somebody's going to pay it. I don't know who it is. Rockets would love to, I think. Lakers may find a way to get max money, and Al Horford would be a great addition on that team. There are a lot of places where Al Horford could fit in, but I think with the Rockets, they've got to solve this Harden and Paul quandary. I don't know how much to read into it. I mean, there is a style of play out there that I think is frustrating the Chris Paul. That's that ISO
it's
ball.
Sitting and watching Harden play.
Watch Harden dribble, 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 isolate, and Chris Paul's standing around. And he's a guy who has been an alpha male on a basketball team in the past, and to be relegated to a very secondary role, I don't think sits well with him.
And Chris Paul is used to, he's a player on the move, and he wants James Harden to move more.
Right.
And to get, you know, to get into sets and actually do things instead of just this ISO ball. So there's a difference in philosophy and style. You know, what you add also to this drama is that the coaching situation is up in the air. There is still, between Morey and Tillman, Daryl Morey and Tillman Fertitta.
Yep.
There is not a deal yet in place for Mike D'Antoni, who will be, you know, coaching on the last year of his contract. They would like to extend him, but the two sides, they're not close. And they've tried not only once, but two times. They Tillman and Morey flew to his West Virginia home to try round two. They can't get that. So you've got a coaching situation in flux. You've got $277 million up cap space, superstars that don't seem to be seen eye to eye. I mean, it's an issue.
Well, you wonder if those two things are related, because so much money has been poured into the players. Tillman Fertitta has said, yeah, I'll pay the luxury tax if, in fact, that's going to render a winning team. But there's only so much money to go around, and it looks like they're trying to save some of that money back in the D'Antoni contract. Of course, on the one hand, what you're paying the coaches seems like a paltry sum relative to the big-time
talent. It's $5 million a year compared to, you know, what these guys are getting.
Right, so with D'Antoni, you might need to be negotiating, well, are we going to pay you $4
million
or $7 million each year,
yeah,
whereas these other guys are just getting big-time money, $30-plus million contracts. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to try to save money from the coaching standpoint when you're spending that kind of money on the player's standpoint. I mean, it's like saving pennies to try to spend big dollars.
I mean, it's just, it's messy in Houston.
Yep.
It makes me sad, and honestly, they need to get it together, because this is the chance for the West. This is the year the West is open. You have Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant on crutches. That's what everybody in the West wants. Actually, so does everybody in the East. Let's not lie. When the Warriors are down, everybody else is happy. So here's your big chance, boys. You couldn't do it with KD out in half of Game 5 and all of Game 6. You couldn't do it holding Steph Curry to 0 points. So this is your chance. I mean, if this doesn't happen this year, and you've got to make moves to make it happen, the way to bring in a big guy, though, you would have to move an Eric Gordon. And that's a very important piece. You might have to think about moving a Capella or a PJ Tucker. Those are tough pieces to move. And I know there's talk about Jimmy Butler coming in. I don't think that's the greatest idea. So, I mean, he doesn't like to share. He doesn't play well with others. You see what he's done to a couple franchises.
Well, it strikes me one really notable thing about next year's NBA, and it hasn't been this way in a long time, is that it is a wide-open league. There's not one team you can look at and say,
because of Golden State,
they are the standalone.
Issues.
I mean, really, Golden State, for years, we all tried to make it seem like it was a wide-open league, and who might topple Golden State this year, or could the Rockets do it, or could it be somebody else? But seriously, for the last 5 years, if you looked at it, you always knew Golden State was the cream of the league. And it will be different next year.
Yes,
when
will.
We come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Sam Amico of Amico Hoops. And we'll ask him, if there is a sea change coming in the NBA, will it be a much more wide open league with much more parity next season. Sam Amico when we return.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Progressive Insurance makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So now joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Sam Amico of AmicoHoops.com. Sam, welcome. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, we are doing great, and we are sitting here in Houston, Texas, wondering if Chris Paul and James Harden like playing together. What do you think?
That seems to be one of the unsung stories of the offseason with all the free agency. I think that they've had issues. Now, is it any more issues than anybody else has? On other teams, you know, there's always going to be something that is bugging guys. But with them being the two premier players on the team, obviously you have to wonder. They're obviously downplaying it. Chris Paul's really downplaying it. But as you guys know, we've heard this before about Chris Paul. We've heard, I saw Kenyon Martin say he thought Chris was a terrible teammate. Great basketball player, but terrible teammate. So, he has that reputation. So it's really hard to tell. I think that, remember the beginning of the year, Rondo had an issue with him. And there are a lot of guys around the league who have an issue with Chris Paul. Fair or not, it's pretty clear that that's the case. Mm.
So do you think here, we're still keeping with the Rockets, that all they've got basically – with cap room is a $5.7 million mid-level exception. So what do they need to do? And do you think adding Jimmy Butler is something that they could consider to give them a run for the West?
Well, Jimmy seems like, would he be a fit there? I think they're going to have a run at the West anyway now.
Thanks
really
to Golden State's injuries, yeah.
Golden State's probably going to lose some of those guys in free agency. They're not going to lose Klay Thompson, but I think they stand a real good chance to lose Durant, and they know that, and they're talking about, should we do a sign and trade with Durant? Would he agree to that? I think that they're really pretty concerned that Kevin Durant's not coming back there, and I don't think they'll be the same. So the window in the West is wide open. We don't know how good the Lakers are going to be or if they're going to mesh or, stay healthy or all that stuff. So I think that the West is wide open. We really got to consider the Rockets as they are probably have a pretty good shot, and as good of a shot as anybody. But to answer your question, personally, as an observer, I don't know how well Jimmy Butler would fit there. Now, maybe he'd fit great, with Chris and James Harden. But man, you've got to be a guy who's willing to take a back seat, because we all know James can score at will. And if you're on the team with Harden, you've got to be able to concede. This is the man. I don't know if Jimmy Butler has struggled with that a little bit wherever he's been. But I don't know. It sounds like they're certainly going to try to make a run at him. We know that much. So I don't know if they're going to have to obviously make a trade and clear some cap space for that to be realistic. But I think it's a long shot. I think most people around the league, and probably even Daryl Morey, thinks it's a long shot. So it could happen, but I think that they'd probably be better off finding some other pieces around those guys if they're able to do that.
Sam, you mentioned KD and the situation with the Warriors and the Warriors bracing for basically probably him not coming back, which he's kind of been – it's been talked about most of the year. Today it's come out that I see that KD is ticked off at Golden State, and it's all obviously has to do with the Achilles injury. And – What I want to find out from you, Sam, is this a game of find the villain, the blame game? Because you look at, he got obviously the opinion of the Warriors doctors who said, can't injure it further. We think you can go. His own camp, you've got Rich Kleiman and company. They gave their opinion on whether he should go or not. Then he went to doctors. He got another opinion from doctors in New York. I think the same doctors that operated on his Jones fracture. So this was a collective decision. Why does it seem like he needs to go public and blame it on the Warriors? Is that where the blame should go?
Well, I think that you would rather, you know, somebody's going to take the blame. And I think that, you know, as opposed to somebody who would say, you know, we're all to blame in this, or really no one's to blame. It was just a case of a guy wanting to play and test it out.
Right.
I think there's an opportunity there to kind of pass the blame. And I think not just Kevin Durant, but we as people tend to pass the blame a lot. And that may be what the case is here. But, you know, I mean, the thing about that whole injury to me was, I don't know, you know, I'm not a doctor, but we heard every player who saw that happen on Twitter and on the air, everybody said, that is an Achilles injury. That's how you react. You look back in game five against the Rockets.
Yeah, the first
you look
injury.
Back,
yeah.
Right, the first time. And everybody said, that is an Achilles injury. We recognize that. It happens across the NBA all the time. That's what it is. I'm pretty sure it was, you know, somebody with a former player with an Achilles injury tweeted that out and said, man, I've seen that before. That's exactly how I reacted, blah, blah, blah. Well, then the next, within an hour, we hear the Warriors, or 2 hours or whatever, you know, it seems like it's not an Achilles. And now it's, you know, and I'm like, how do you determine that within a couple of hours, even an hour? It's like they wanted to control the panic around the team. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's a calf strain. And, you know, and this could all be true. This, maybe that's what it was. And he came back and pushed it, and then he pushed it. But I just thought, from everything I heard from the players themselves who recognized that type of thing, we're saying it was an Achilles. So, to me, it was a very bizarre situation because, and you know what? Charles Barkley said it right off the bat. The Warriors are lying. Kevin Durant will not be back, and he shouldn't be back because that's an Achilles injury. He said it right away. And he kept saying it over and over. The Warriors keep saying he's coming back. He's coming back. They're lying. But then he comes back, and then, you know, sure enough, it goes within, what, 5 minutes? So,
yeah, 11 minutes.
Yeah, right. It's very interesting. I really think his run there is over. Whether he signs there for a year and picks up his option and does this again next summer, or if he does it again, you know, I mean, if he signs again and then leaves in unrestricted free agency next year when he finally gets healthy, or if he gets traded, if he does a sign and trade, I think Kevin Durant and the Warriors are ready to part ways.
We are talking to Sam Amico of AmicoHoops.com. So let me shift gears over to the Celtics. They're obviously in a different position today than they thought they would be, well, back a month ago. Where do they go from here?
Well, you know, I think that they're open, you know, they're open to Kyrie coming back. I don't know if he's open to it. I think he would be open to it if they said, and this may be a possibility, you know, it's a long shot, but, you know, hey, we will trade for Durant. I think that they would be a player in a sign-and-trade scenario if Durant does that. If not, I think Danny Ainge is going to try to keep that team together that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not last year, 2 years ago, without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
but
of course.
But Terry Rozier's here, our guy. We got Jaylen Brown. We got Jason Tatum. You know, now we have Al Horford. While certainly would be a loss, and it sounds like he's going to be a loss in free agency, while that certainly, Al is replaceable in that situation. You know, you can find that guy. It's not like he's LeBron or, you know, I mean, he's a nice player. He's a good player, but you can find another Al Horford. But I think that that's what they're looking at. Like, you know what? Let's make the most of what we have. This team went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, and we took the Cavs, that Cavs team, to seven games. Let's build off that camaraderie that we had 2 years ago without Kyrie. I think there's a shot that Kyrie could go back. I think that they could be a player in Durant. But if not, I think that they're thinking, we'll be all right.
We're talking to Sam Amico of AmicoHoops.com. Okay, earlier we talked about the Pelicans and how they dealt with that tough situation with AD forcing the trade. How do you like their future today?
I'm sorry, how do I like what now?
What do you think of the Pelicans' future today?
Oh, yeah, no, I the future's obviously bright. You know, we haven't seen Zion play, obviously, or some of the other young guys, but I think that, you know, most people will tell you this guy's got he's going to be an all-star. He stays healthy. He's got the skills. He's got the size. He's got all the tools, and he's a guy you build around. I think David Griffin is going to build an excellent culture there, and that's really what it's about. You know, he had a really good culture going in Cleveland, even before LeBron came back. That's why they made David Griffin the GM. If you remember, in 2014, Chris Grant got fired, and David Griffin came in the press conference. He said, I want to start having fun. These guys aren't having any fun. Let's start there. And they did. And they started playing better. They started playing free and easy. And he would go in the locker room, make sure everybody's okay. And I think that's going to be a very good situation and a winning situation moving forward, because they just have the pieces, the young pieces. Then you think about all the draft picks they got out of that still moving forward. I think the Pelicans are going to be a team that a lot of people are going to enjoy and could be very good, you know, very quickly because of Williamson, particularly if he stays healthy.
Okay, Sam, our listeners want to know who's winning the MVP tonight.
The MVP, that's a great question. I've been kind of going back and forth on it most of the year. I probably would pick Harden, but I think Giannis is going to win it. Milwaukee, best player on the best team, best regular season team, and it's a regular season award. But what a great run he had and the Bucks had, and really something to build on moving forward. So I think Giannis is going to get it. I think Harden was probably the most unstoppable, but I think Giannis is going to get it just because they 60 wins when they win 60, 62 games somewhere in there. And then Giannis was the best player on that team, biggest difference maker. Probably this is his time.
All right, we'll know soon.
We'll know soon. Sam Amico, thanks so much for joining us on SBS Radio. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, it's been an hour dedicated really to the NBA. What an amazing window we have here. Post-draft, free agent looming in 6 days.
Yeah,
but I'll say this. There was Bol Bol. And
that's your guy. You were bowled over by Bol Bol.
I really was. And I was surprised he fell all the way to number 44 overall, a second round pick. He got picked up by Denver. I think he's a project, but I was surprised he slipped that far.
Well, he's risky. That's what I think. Because you look at him, I mean, he's a 7'2" stick who can run and shoot the three.
Right.
I mean, he's the son of Manute Bol, who I love. Do you remember him?
God, I remember. He was that little wiry guy. I mean,
oh, my gosh. Wasn't little.
Yeah,
he
was just a toothpick.
He looked like a grasshopper or a praying mantis on the sidelines because his knees came up to his ears. I mean, I know. As a Warriors fan, I watched that,
of course,
you know, in the day.
Yes.
But I think for Bol Bol, it's a risky pick for a team. I mean, it could be you could make everyone who passed on him look like a fool.
Well, he had a foot surgery problem, so there's the concern about it, right?
A little bit of an issue. And, you know, he had foot surgery his freshman season. So those are kind of a bit of the knocks about him. But you look at, he has a 9'7" standing reach.
All right, but I want to call out one of my other big guys, Taco Fall.
Oh, yeah.
Remember University of Central Florida?
Because they're in the same with ACC with U of H.
Well, and they almost beat Duke in the tournament.
Absolutely.
And Taco was a huge presence there. I mean, he's bigger than Bol Bol. He is a, well,
7'7".
7'7". I mean, this guy, he set a record for both height and wingspan at the draft combine, yet he went undrafted. And boy, when you look at Bol Bol and Taco, clearly it's a sign of the times in the NBA. The old school, big time, in the paint centers aren't what they used to be. But Taco did sign a contract with the Celtics, a free agent agreement.
There you go.
He'll get a chance to play. He'll be in the summer league participating for them. But those two guys stood out to me in the tournaments as just a big physical presence. I think there's some place for those guys in the NBA.
Oh, well, I think the NBA is dynamic. It's definitely changing. And you can look at what's happened over the past 5 to 7 years in the NBA. It's become small ball. You look at the Splash Brothers and what they have done. It is a very active, fast shooting league. And I think Taco Fall is not super speedy.
Yep.
I mean, at a size of 7'7", you're not moving in and out like a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson can do.
Yep.
So that's, I think, the true centers, which Bol Bol and Taco Fall are. It's hard to find a place for them in the modern NBA. Not that they can't. It's just tougher.
Yeah, but you know me. I'm old school.
You are old school. You're a young old school.
A young old school. All right. We've had fun talking NBA in hour number one. In hour number two, we get to sit down with Brett Boone. Remember the former major leaguer?
Yes, baseball royalty family.
Oh, yeah. Three-time All-Star.
Bob, Roy, Aaron, Brett. It's a lineage.
Well, that'll be hour two. We'll get to visit with Brett Boone. We'll be right back. More to come, SB Nation Radio.